As I think more about that, I think about how I made very stupid decisions financially along the way, bought into the philosophy of this country that, you know, we're to prosper and get rich, and I decided to do it by borrowing money, and that doesn't work, and found out the hard way, you know, it was stupid, but I have to just praise the Lord how he forgave me and delivered me, and that's what he's doing, and that's why this is such a marvelous thing, what he has done in our lives and in this ministry. Father, we just thank you and praise you for your great many benefits that we have received and the fact that it will continue to increase. So we just worship you and praise you and thank you for the way that you provide. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right, as we receive the offering, have a couple things to mention. First, I want to share with you, and I'll be putting this back there on the table, but on October the 4th at 8:30, I think, at, let's see, where they say this is, I forgot. Old Mill Park, I finally found it on here. This is now called Imagine Life. You know, they started out as a Fredericksburg Pregnancy Center, then they went to Choices Women's Center, and they've been moved now to call it Imagine Life. And I think that's really, really good because that's what a baby is. And, you know, when God starts the process in the womb of a lady, it is a miraculous thing that happens. And that is God's design and God's work, and we don't need to be messing it up. And even though it may seem like sometimes that, you know, it's wrong because maybe somebody got pregnant when they weren't married, but it's amazing how many stories there are. Well, Jan and I just watched one here of a family that adopted a child, and what a tremendous blessing that baby became in their lives. And then the adopted father decided to go back and meet the mother. Well, that was a different story. I'm getting them a little mixed up. But anyway, it is just an amazing thing how God can work to bring about blessing even when it's not right. And it could even have been sin that caused it initially, but this is God's work. So these will be back there on the table if you want to go for the walk. It's a good way to, and we support that ministry as a, as you probably see in the bulletin, I think maybe, is it in there today? Yeah, I think it is. I think I changed it to, there it is, Imagine Life on the back. So we have specific ministries that we actually contribute money to, and they're one of them. So a couple other things I want to mention here. Our next community fellowship will be September the 8th. Will not be this coming Monday, which is Memorial Day, but the week after that. And I put in here that we're going to start the Saturday Fellowship this coming Saturday. Is that right?
Not this Saturday.
Not this Saturday? Okay, so the following Saturday? Okay, that's fine. I didn't check with you, so. But anyway, got your attention. So be praying about it and thinking about it. And then let's see, is there anything else of note here that I put in? That well, you can look at the rest of them. I was, you know, I put in birthdays in the bulletin, but I have to tell you, more people were born in September in our fellowship than I think any other month. And you can look at that. Yeah, it's a good month. That's right. That's right. Happens to be one of my favorite months. Yes. You got something? Oh, okay. Well, we'll let you share it. Come on up.
Do you have... Oh.
Don't get it so close. Well, you got their attention.
Hey, that's it. Do you have scrubby clothes? Well, next Saturday and the following Saturday, we're going to be doing some painting here.
Oh, yeah.
We're going to paint the fellowship hall. And then some of the ladies are going to provide lunch and using the our kitchen. And we're going to paint the hallway and the foyer. And we're going to paint a color on this wall so that on YouTube and stuff, you can't really see the screen that good. So we're going to be, Lord willing, with two Saturdays. So if you got some scrubby clothes, please come on by and help us paint. If you have drop cloths, bring them. Paint brushes,
oh, yeah,
rollers, bring them. But they're going to, our Spanish congregation's also going to be working beside us, so it gives us opportunity to fellowship with one another as we are working side by side to dress up our little congregation here. Well, we thank you, and may God bless you.
I might just add that in order for us to paint out there, we have to bring the scaffolding in. And several pieces of that scaffolding, so I can use some help. I know probably Robert's going to help, but if anybody else wants
to.
8 o'clock.
Yeah, they asked what time.
Oh, 8 o'clock for the painting.
Yeah.
Yeah, we won't quite start that early to get the scaffolding, but and we'll do that on Friday so we can get it out here and get it set up, be ready to go on Saturday. All right. Anything else that needs to be noted here? All right, well, let's go ahead and if children can be dismissed to their time together, and we'll continue here with the preaching. You know, I just want to begin by saying that the books of Timothy have especially been so beneficial to me. And, you know, when I began this ministry, which actually was in 1988, and I was evaluating, you know, what God wanted me to do and be, I thought, you know, the best place for me to figure that out is to seek the Holy Spirit through His Word. And Paul wrote to Timothy and Titus as well, because they were involved in that kind of a mission. And so it helped me to figure out exactly what God wanted me to do. But I want to tell you, too, that these scriptures, these books, are beneficial for everyone, because they help us understand how we can carry out the mission that God has given us, because each of us has been given a mission and a ministry. And so we need to understand that. The other thing about where I'm at today, in 2 Timothy chapter 1, I'll be reading in verse beginning in verse 13 a little bit, but the Apostle Paul has been really experiencing in his life some very difficult trials in preaching the gospel. And Jesus had given him, as well as his other disciples, the warning about this, because he said, I have told you these things. That was when he was right the night before he was betrayed and sharing it with his 12. Paul wasn't there, but he would learn about that later. I've told you these things so that in me you may have peace in this world. When you and in this world you will have trouble. But take heart, I have overcome the world. So we're going to have trouble, but he's going to give us peace, and we're overcomers. And what a great message that is. And so Paul knew this, and so what he is doing in writing to Timothy is he is wanting to prepare him, or continue to keep him prepared, so that he carries out the mission. And so he would say, later in this letter, I won't be reading it today, but he would say, join with me in suffering like a good soldier of Christ Jesus. Now, you know, when you're in sales, for example, you don't start out by talking to people to try to get them recruited to become a salesman by telling them all the trouble they're going to have. But as a Christian, we're going to have trouble. And Jesus wants us to know trouble will come. But he also wants us to know he can prepare us for that trouble, and it will turn out to be a benefit for us and for his kingdom. What a wonderful message. The Apostle Peter would also talk about this. In 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12, he said, dear friends, don't be surprised at the fiery trials you're going through, as if something strange were happening to you. Instead, be very glad, for these trials make you partners with Christ in his suffering, so that you will have the wonderful joy of seeing his glory when it is revealed to all the world. You know, I have to say, I didn't like the trouble I've seen, and a lot of times I created my own trouble, but God would get me through it. But it's scripture like this that helped me have the mentality and the perspective I needed to be able to persevere and press on and understand the joy of my salvation. So this is what Paul is sharing with Timothy here in the scripture we're going to read today. I've entitled this message, Guarding the Good Deposit of Our Faith, which is right out of this text. So let's begin reading in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 13. Hold on to the pattern of wholesome teaching you have learned from me, a pattern shaped by the faith and love that you have in Christ Jesus. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, who lives within us, carefully guard the precious truth that has been entrusted to you. As you know, everyone from the province of Asia has deserted me, even Philegius and Hermogenes. May the Lord show special kindness to Onesiphorus and all his family, because he often visited and encouraged me. He was never ashamed of me because I was in chains. When he came to Rome, he searched everywhere until he found me. May the Lord show him special kindness on the day of Christ's return. And you know very well how helpful he was in Ephesus. 2 Timothy 1, 13 through 16. A brief scripture, but what a powerful scripture. And it's amazing, you know, how Paul mentioned Onesiphorus here and how he became part of the scriptures. And for everyone to read until Jesus returns. And it's an example for us and how Jesus will minister to us and help us in our situation. And so I begin here, guarding the good deposit of our faith. The Apostle Paul had set a good example for Timothy, and he wanted him to continue to follow it. This is the challenge for us as well, to follow good, godly examples. Then we'll be better enabled to guard the deposit of faith and the love that Jesus Christ has given us and placed in us. This is one thing we need to always keep in mind, that we have an enemy that is always attacking us, but we have Jesus who is greater than our enemy. That's exactly what Peter tells us when he said, in the same way, you who are younger must submit yourselves to your elders, and all of you dress yourselves in humility as you relate to one another. For God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. That's actually in Proverbs 3:34 as well. So humble yourselves under the mighty power of God, and at the right time he will lift you up in honor. Give all your worries and cares to God, for he cares about you. Stay alert. Watch out for your great enemy, the devil. He prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Stand firm against him and be strong in your faith. Remember that your family of believers all over the world is going through the same kind of suffering you are. 1 Peter 5, 5 through 9. What a great encouragement. And, you know, Peter went through some very difficult things too. And eventually it is believed he would be crucified. And the tradition has it that he said, don't crucify me right side up, crucify me upside down, because I'm not worthy to be crucified like my Savior. What an incredible perspective if that was the case. And it's because of the Holy Spirit that was living in him, and that's what we have too. And when we understand that, and then we seek his help, then we can guard this deposit that God has given us, which is our salvation and the gift of ministry that he has entrusted us with. And being in the Word of God enables us to be able to accomplish this. As we seek to be filled with the Spirit, the two work together. That's the amazing thing, because if we remember, Hebrews 4:12 tells us that the Word of God is living and active and enabled by the Holy Spirit to work in us. And he gives us the insight that we need. Paul would also say this to the Ephesians, be very careful then how you live. Not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which will ruin you. Instead, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Ephesians 5, 15 through 20. And that last line is a real challenge because we're not prone to always give thanks for everything that's going on in our lives because some things just aren't good. And yet, if we commit it to God and we thank Him for the opportunity that He is giving us to be able to persevere and show forth His grace and His light, God will magnify it and use it for His eternal purposes and ours as well. And so that is the great thing that God is doing. That scripture was Ephesians 5, 15 through 20, if I didn't say that. So this is one of the great benefits, among many other benefits that we have received. And of course, that is the living Word of God, which quickens our spirit by the Holy Spirit living in us. And when this is alive and working as it should be, then we'll be growing in Him to fulfill the ministry that God has called us to. And I know, I alluded to this earlier, and I know that we tend to think that, you know, leaders, pastors, teachers, they're gifted in their ministry, but, you know, who am I? Well, the reality is that when we elevate people like that, then we create a form of idolatry because we're not God, and He has only called us to be a living example of Him, of Jesus. And when we are, we're going to be humble. You know, I love this scripture when Jesus was talking to Nicodemus. I mean, it was a great scripture all the way through. I'm not going to read all of it. But I did want to share this particular part that Jesus brought out when He was talking to him. He said, God sent His Son into the world, not to judge the world, but to save the world through Him. There is no judgment against anyone who believes in Him. But anyone who does not believe in Him has already been judged for not believing in God's one and only Son. Welcome. We're glad you guys made it. And the judgment is based on this fact. God's light came into the world, but people love the darkness more than the light, for their actions were evil. All who do evil hate the light and refuse to go near it for fear their sins will be exposed. But those who do what is right come to the light so that others can see they are doing what God wants. John 3, 17 through 21. That's how we show the light of Christ to the world. And that's what Jesus was saying there. And this followed, by the way, I didn't start reading there. I started in verse 17, but most everyone knows John 3, 16. But this followed what Jesus was saying when God sent His Son. That's why He did. And what a blessing it is for us when we understand this. And so, that brings me to this next point, standing with fellow believers. You know, Paul had experienced a lot of rejection from people because of the gospel. He even mentioned two here, Philegius and Hermogenes, who we don't really know anything about them, and yet, obviously, Timothy would have. And Paul, of course, had encountered them, and they had abandoned the faith. And yet, it shows that not only did Paul know people by name, but he prayed for them. And many others, he said, many others have abandoned me too, but he wasn't bitter about it. He was thankful. And so that led him to mention Onesiphorus, who was a person who had ministered to him in his struggles and trials when he was in prison in Rome. And it was an amazing thing because he understood what Jesus had said to his disciples when he said this in Luke chapter 21. Jesus said, don't let anyone mislead you, for many will come in my name claiming I am the Messiah and saying the time has come, but don't believe them. And when you hear of wars and insurrections, don't panic. Yet, yes, these things must take place first, but the end won't follow immediately. Then he added, nation will go to war against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There will be great earthquakes and there will be famines and plagues in many lands and there will be terrifying things and great miraculous signs from heaven. But before all this occurs, there will be a time of great persecution. You will be dragged into synagogues and prisons, and you will stand trial before kings and governors because you are my followers. But this will be your opportunity to tell them about me. So don't worry in advance about how to answer the charges against you, for I will give you the right words and such wisdom that none of your opponents will be able to reply or refute you. Even those closest to you, your parents, brothers, relatives, and friends will betray you. They will even kill some of you. And everyone will hate you because you are my followers. But not a hair of your head will perish. Now, I like that. You know, he's not talking about the physical hair we're going to keep. He's talking about that's a representative of everything you do will be preserved for eternity if you're doing it for Jesus. And so when you stand in this case, like what he's talking about, which this is a pretty dreadful situation, and there have been many people go through this, and especially even in our time, in other countries, they're still standing strong. And that's why I encourage you to subscribe to Voice of the Martyrs, because you will read about these people who are being persecuted, and yet they are being strong like this. So anyway, he finishes, by standing firm, you will win your souls. Luke 21:8-19. See, that's it. We have the victory. If we stay in Jesus, we're guaranteed the victory. And I love that scripture that Paul wrote in Ephesians, where he talked about the fact that we have a deposit, the Holy Spirit, guaranteeing our inheritance. So that's the thing. You know, people are always interested in guarantees. You know, when you buy something, I wonder what the warranty is on this. You know, you want to know what the warranty is. Well, one of the things you discover, and I've said this before, is that the warranty is only as good as the one giving it. I bought some fans, really nice fans. They had a lifetime warranty. But I had one of them quit on me, and guess what? I couldn't get it replaced because the company was out of business. Well, that'll never happen with God. The guarantee is firm and secure, and we will gain our inheritance. So that is why, no matter what happens, we keep our focus on Jesus and persevere in all of our circumstances. And I have experienced this in my life, you know, the circumstances that come. I've had people reject me and this ministry over differences about what the scriptures mean in certain cases. Now, we need to understand there is those things that are essential. And the most essential one is that Jesus is our Lord and Savior, and we must commit our life to Him. But I've had people leave this fellowship because we couldn't agree over what the book of Revelation teaches. And you know, the amazing thing about the book of Revelation, I don't think there has been any book that people have disagreed more over. And the truth of the matter is, they can't all be right. I'm not even sure if one of them's right. And you know, that's why I joke about the fact, I don't joke, I just actually, I've quit saying that because I'm actually serious. See, I'm a pan-millennialist. You know, one of the reasons why this great difference and discussion and even division has occurred is because of Revelation chapter 20. And it's all to do with that thousand-year reign. And people want to divide over that. Well, so we have amillennialism. We have premillennialism. We have postmillennialism. Well, I've become a panmillennialist. Because when Jesus returns, it's going to be done exactly the way He wants it done. It doesn't matter what you think. Doesn't matter what I think. Because He is in charge. And that's what we need to remember about these things. Jesus is in charge. And so, yeah, I have some strong beliefs, but I've also been wrong. I mean, I just had an opportunity this week, I won't mention any names, but I had an opportunity to meet with a family that came to talk to me about something I said, and I realized, and they actually copied my sermon right out of the notes that come with, I guess you can get on YouTube. But that's not the first time I've said things that weren't right. I'm not the measuring stick. And I'm very firm in what I think, but I want to make sure that you realize that just because you agree with me doesn't mean we're right. And we want to continue to seek the Holy Spirit to guide us and to help us be what we ought to be. And that's what's important. We must remember that Jesus is our Lord and Jesus is our Savior and He is the final authority. And so we want to constantly be seeking His help. You know, Jesus made this very clear. This is one thing that is no question about. He said to His disciples, the night that He was going to be betrayed, He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by Me. John 14:6. So, whatever anybody thinks, there's only one way you're going to be saved, and that's through Jesus Christ. And I tell people, you know, it's not a matter of what anybody thinks doctrinally. Here's the test. First of all, when we stand before Jesus, He has to know you. Because He'll say, I never knew you. And you're gone. But if He knows you, you're saved. So how do you know He knows you? Because you come to know Him. He will bear witness in your soul that you're His child. And we're not saved simply because we think right, except on that one point, that Jesus is my Lord and Jesus is my Savior. So when we understand that Jesus is the only way, then we will be on the right path. I had a couple of scriptures. I've already alluded to them, but I wanted to share these because this illustrates or demonstrates exactly what I'm saying. Jesus says, not everyone who says to Me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only those who does the will of My Father who is in heaven. Many will say to Me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in Your name and in Your name drive out demons and in Your name perform many miracles? I just have to stop. Have you ever listened to some pastors on TV that claim that? Oh, yeah. You know, well, if they know Jesus and He knows them, that will be what counts, not what they thought they did. Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Depart from Me, you evil doers. Matthew 7:21-23. Then Jesus would say this right after that to help us realize what we need to do to make sure we're on the right path. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of Mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, yet it did not fall, because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of Mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. Matthew 7:24-27. So, I just want to say, it's not enough simply to pray a prayer and even be baptized if we don't follow Jesus. I had a family who came to this particular building. We baptized them in this baptistry and never saw them after that. So I went to finally get with them. I said, well, what's going on here? You know, you're supposed to be following Jesus. They said, well, after we thought about it, we just thought we wanted to go on and do what we wanted to do. Well, you can do that here, but your life isn't very long. Mine isn't either. And one day we're going to stand before Jesus, and that's when the real problem is going to be if you haven't made the right decision. I mean, I only share that because it is amazing that people would say those kind of things and do those kind of things, but they do because they have not followed the way they should. You know, Paul did, he ministered to others, especially the fellowship of believers, and his example here is in order that fellow believers would see his example even while he's in prison, and they would be ministered to by his example, and it's still happening. I find it incredible what Paul went through and what he says in this letter, because later he's going to mention to Timothy that he knows his time is short. But was he feeling sorry for himself? No, no. He said, I know where I'm going, and I'm ready to go. So, this part of doing what Jesus requires of us means that when we do these things, we will be faithful in serving others. We do this in many ways. And we need to be to realize that we're carrying out his mission. I normally get Kleenexes up here, but I got my, just the way it is with me, I get a runny nose. I see one here. I'll get it out. Sorry about that, but that's what happens when you get old. We need to realize that we're here to carry out Jesus' mission. Paul would say we're his ambassadors, which means that we do what he wants us to do. We're carrying out his purpose, not our own. And when we're doing this, then we are following what Jesus wants us to do. You know, it's interesting. When Jesus, right before Jesus was raptured from this earth, he said this. Or he told the 11 disciples to go to Galilee, to the mountain, where he had instructed them. And when they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. That's always been an amazing thing to me. Some doubted. This was the 11, so, you know, might have been Thomas. I know he doubted before. We don't know. They didn't get mentioned here. Then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Matthew 28:16-20. Jesus will never leave us nor forsake us. He's always going to be with us. And what a great encouragement this is. But the point here is that we need to be his disciple. We need to be living for him, following him, seeking his guidance in our life. You know, our problem in this country is there are so many temptations just to do what we want to do. And it can be a good trip for a while, you know. It's nice to buy things and enjoy the stuff you buy. I did that for a while. But then you have to pay for it. And then it gets old and quits working. And now what are you going to do? You ain't got it paid for, and it's not doing what you wanted it to do. If our joy is in this world, it is so temporary and so defeating and unfortunately destructive. So I think the encouraging thing for us, the wonderful point to be made, is that when we're seeking Jesus diligently and allowing the Holy Spirit to fill us, which is what we need to do, you know, the key is being filled with the Holy Spirit and then letting him act. You know, it's not what you think you're doing by the power of the Holy Spirit. It's what the Holy Spirit is doing as you seek him and making sure that you're carrying out his purpose for you. I mean, one of the great scriptures is Romans chapter 12, where Paul talks about the fact that we all have been given a gift and we're all part of the body and we function together. And we're not comparing ourselves by others, nor are we feeling sorry for ourselves because of what others have. We're simply seeking to be allow the Holy Spirit to guide us and to fill us so that we accomplish his purpose. And when we're constantly doing that, then we will be fulfilling God's mission. And you know what his primary mission is for us? Jesus said the second greatest commandment, first one is to love God with all your heart. The second commandment is to love your neighbor. And when we love our neighbor, we're going to seek how we can minister to those people. And I can tell you this, I have lived in where I live since 1975. We have a private subdivision, and we have had some disagreements. We had to get an association together, which was a struggle. And then we had to raise money to pay for the roads. I mean, one of the most comical things is that before all that happened, and one of the reasons why people decided to come together is because the ruts in the road got so deep when it rained that you couldn't get through unless you had a big four-wheel drive. And so people decide, well, maybe we ought to do something, you know. And so they came together, but, you know, it wasn't because they liked each other. And, you know, we're a better neighborhood now than we were then, but that doesn't mean that everybody likes each other either. But we just, and so the thing is we got to make sure that we're not allowing whatever our neighbor is doing or isn't doing to cause us to turn against them. We're to love our neighbor no matter what they do. We return good for evil. That's the mission that he's given us, and that's the example that we set. And when we do that, we become a light in the world. And what a ministry we can have that way. And I can testify that I have had that blessing. And so when we understand what it means to serve others, being faithful in serving others, especially, you know, the body of Christ, but then the world, because when we build each other up in the body, then we can go out in the world. And the thing of it is, here's the deal. Most of the time, you're on that mission alone. You know, you don't have somebody there holding your hand while you do what you are supposed to do, whether it be go to work or take care of responsibilities, whatever they are. Most of it is going to be carrying the load ourselves. Or if you're married, maybe you've got help with your mate. But still, so much of what we do is the mission that we're on for Jesus without having somebody there to support us like we would like. And that's what it means to allow the love of Jesus to support us and to help us carry out his mission in us. And when we understand this, then, we're not going to be comparing ourselves to other people, saying, well, why are they so good and I'm not, or whatever it may be. They got so much and I don't. No, we got our focus on Jesus, and we have everything. When we have Jesus, we have everything. Everything we need. You know, here is what Jesus told his disciples after they had gotten angry with each other, or some of them had gotten angry. Well, they all got angry. But anyway, I won't read the backstory, but this is what happened. But Jesus called them together and said, you know that the rulers in this world lord it over their people, and officials flaunt their authority over those under them. But among you, it will be different. Whoever wants to be a leader among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first among you must become your slave. For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve others, and to give his life as a ransom for many. Matthew 20, 25 through 28. That has been one of the most transforming scriptures for me. If my Savior, who didn't owe me a thing, who had everything, I mean, he had the most wonderful circumstance anyone could have. He was God. He was in heaven. And yet he gave all that up, came down here, and look what he did. And why did he do it? There's only one reason. Because he loves us. God is love. And God did all of this because of his love. And that's what Jesus did. And that's what he's saying here. What a wonderful, marvelous lesson and example Jesus has set for us. And so when we keep our focus on him and not concerning ourselves about others or what's going on in the world, there's a lot going on in the world, you know. If you're spending time listening to the news and all the stuff that's happening, you can get very discouraged. But we don't need to do that. I mean, I do want to keep track of some things that are going on just so that I can be aware of it and maybe help somebody get through something, but I'm not listening to what's going on in the world and letting it change me. I'm going to stay focused on Jesus, and he's going to change me. And so when we do this, then we will have our minds transformed, and we will be the light in this world that he has called us to be. So, as I wrap this up, as we evaluate the instructions that Paul is giving Timothy here, it will be transforming for us as well. When we realize that Paul knows that his time here on earth is short, and yet here he is encouraging Timothy, what an example it is for us to follow. And all of this was happening because Paul had such a deep relationship with Jesus. This was the testimony that he shared with Timothy earlier in this letter, and I want to close with this because this is really wonderful. For God saved us and called us to live a holy life. He did this not because we deserved it, but because that was his plan from before the beginning of time. What an insight, folks. You realize that God created this world knowing everything that was going to happen. He knows everything. He knows it before it happens. People say, well, then, you know, can I do anything about it? Well, yeah, God has given us free will. Just because he knows what's going to happen doesn't mean that he's making it happen necessarily. I mean, he makes a lot of things happen, but he isn't causing you to either reject or accept him. You have to make that decision. And so he said, before the beginning of time, he planned all this to show us his grace through Christ Jesus. And now he has made all of this plain to us by the appearing of Christ Jesus, our Savior. He broke the power of death and illuminated the way to life and immortality through the gospel. And God chose me to be a preacher, an apostle, and teacher of this gospel. That is why I'm suffering here in prison. But I am not ashamed of it, for I know the one in whom I trust, and I am sure that he is able to guard what I have entrusted to him until the day of his return. 2 Timothy 1, 9 through 12. Isn't that wonderful? What a great concept to finish with here this morning. I hope this has been an encouragement to you, and that's where I end. Greg, if you want to come and dismiss us. Oh, let me give this to you. I remembered it.
Well, it's been a long morning, but I hope that you were fed properly. And also, before I close, I just want to remind you, if you haven't greeted anybody this morning, before you leave, greet and say hi to one another, and, you know, with a brotherly love. And I know we have a new couple here this morning. I never got the chance to meet them yet, greet them with God's love. And I just want to remind you of prayer time tonight at 4:30, and Wednesday night Bible study. We're in the book of Exodus, which is so terrific. You can see Christ everywhere and God moving in that book. And we're going to continue all the way through to Deuteronomy and just see why Jesus came, you know, and the sacrifices that were made wasn't enough to save us. But it was just the death of Jesus Christ, his blood shed for us, his life given for us, perfect in every way. And then if you don't know Christ this morning, I encourage you to know him. And if you're struggling, you know, with your relationship with him, I encourage you to seek him out through his word, through prayer. Talk to somebody this morning and say, hey, I need your help. Because we need to go out there and be that light. And that light, there's no darkness in the light that he has. He tells us to be that light on the hill. And let's not go out there. Yes, we got troubles. I mean, we look in the back. We got the medical people out in the back, the wheelchair people and the walkers and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, like Pastor said, we're all getting older. But you know what? We can honor God.